want to welcome all of you here this morning. This is the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany. Also, those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. We're going to open our service this morning with song number 458, To God Be the Glory, number 458.
Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, shall we give thanks and pray? Heavenly Father, we do indeed come to offer our praise, to give you the glory for that Son that had yielded his life as an atonement for sin, as that songwriter so eloquently written down. The atonement for sin in our behalf on that center cross of Calvary, some 2,000 years ago, but yet even before that, that promise in the garden, that bruising of the head of the bruising of the heel, but crushing of the head of the serpent, that even in our fallen state, that you would desire to draw close to us through your Son, Jesus, and we would hope that the whole world would know this, that the whole earth would hear that voice of the Lord, and that we would all rejoice with that acknowledgement of eternity within our grasp because of what Christ has done for us. Father, we thank you for this new day, this new Lord's Day, this time that we can gather together. We thank you for a night's rest, knowing even as the psalm writer has written that we can lay down in peace and sleep, knowing that you will only make us to dwell in safety. And even if we don't always have that natural rest, we know we have that spiritual rest where we can rest in the accomplished work of Christ Jesus, and to know that we will, with so many of the loved ones that have gone on before us, experience that rest, to rest even in, as the poor man in the bosom of Abraham, to not strive anymore as we have in this life, but to enter that perfect sleep. Father, we remember many that have struggles of health, of the body, financial means, of the mind, whatever those struggles are, and there are many that afflict even all of us in different varying shades. We know that you, as the great physician, send that comforter. Draw near to those, Father. We also remember those that have experienced successes and joys in life, and know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father. Be with the pastor as he comes this morning to open the word before this congregation, and wherever that word is preached. We're thankful for a safe return for Tom and John as they have come back from their travels and from their work. But may the work continue to move forward with those who have heard the gospel, wherever it is preached and across the lands, and even in our own lives as we go about our day-to-day tasks, as we interact with the unbelievers, when we interact with the believers, that the word would continue to be spread. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue with 233, How Sweet the Name of Jesus. Thank you. turn to Psalm 37, found on page 442 in the Pew Bible. The chosen verses are 1 through 11 and 39 and 40, so we'll jump to the end of 37. Reading in Jesus' name. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Then jump into 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. I think it's about three times this psalm, at least in the verses we read, says to fret not. You know, that speaks to my heart. That's probably my part of my, like Paul says, a thorn in the flesh is the ability to worry, concern ourselves with the tasks of the world. Probably part of it is in my job, having to spend a lot of time worrying about getting things done on a schedule, making sure I have work for laid out and planned well for many people. But I think it's also just some people are more carefree than others. It's just certain ways we are created, isn't it? So this psalm really speaks to my heart this morning to trust in the Lord. It's a good reminder to us that, I don't know how many times in my life we worried and fretted about something, and it isn't until we take it to the Lord that that worry and that care is taken care of, isn't it? I did think I'd like to read the Old Testament. I didn't talk to Dad. Hopefully he's not planning on reading this or speaking from it, but 45th chapter of Genesis, first 15 verses, very familiar story. Reading again in Jesus' name. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt, and come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. I thought this was a well-chosen portion when we talk about worrying about what evildoers have done, about what the cares of the world. We know the story of Joseph, how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And in our natural minds, he would have every reason to be angry with them, every reason to be concerned about how they had treated him. And there was one specific verse that really stuck out to me in reference to this psalm that we read. Verse 5, Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And we know that we have one that was sent before us to preserve life, that Christ Jesus, who was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. So when we come upon these cares that we read about in the Psalms, when we feel that we are surrounded by evil, we can know that we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, because we have Christ Jesus, that salvation that has been provided for us. I appreciated that song choice, Karen, that the fear would be driven away, that we can know that that sweet name of Jesus has always gone on before us, from here until eternity, until we can cross that Jordan River and we can rest secure in him. We'll continue with 346, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Thank you.
and to greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with us not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. It's amazing how this word is so complete. I was wondering this morning, how can I tie in the story of Joseph as I was reading? And, you know, there's so much. I do appreciate the church calendar, as I've mentioned before. You know, and I think the deeper you look into the various portions of Scripture, you know, we see how they tie together, the importance of this word being a word that is from Genesis to Revelation is the same, because it is Christ Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It brings the same message. It brings the same instruction. It brings to us the same gift that points us to salvation. You know, and wherever we read from, I think it's important that we, you know, we search the Scriptures, that we meditate upon them. The very fact that we can speak to others about what we have come to know, of who we have come to know, most importantly, you know, is found in the Word. That's the most valuable instruction that you can have. You know, in our trades, you know, I spent the last 16 years, I think, in the apprenticeship committee in our trade in the vocation I was in, and, you know, it was an important thing to pass on that instruction. Or, you know, something we encourage the journeymen to do, to, you know, you have to teach as they come up, as the younger ones come up, they have to know what to do, you know, and that instruction is, it's not something that was derived by the human mind. It was part of God's plan. And I think it's important for us to recognize that God has a plan for each one of us, you know, that his plan is the plan of salvation, the gift that he has supplied in Christ Jesus. That's what's important to communicate. And all of these other things that we pass on, they're good and they're vital for a brief period of time. But what God speaks to us, he has a plan that is far beyond our day-to-day existence. And it's, you know, it's amazing that we have a God who is unfathomable by our natural minds, and yet he came to earth to speak to us, to be with us. He took on the form of flesh. He understands us. He understands the thoughts and the intents that we have. You know, the Hebrews writer tells us that. There's no place we can go to be away from God, because he is. He is the great I am, as he declares in the Old Testament. He's a God who knows all things. And in spite of that, in spite of knowing, and I think I can only look into my own heart, you know, it's just amazing that he continues to love me. You know, the fact that we recognize that we are sinners is a marvelous gift. Yes, it's difficult. But when we recognize that, we also recognize that, you know, the songwriter put it so well, one of the songs we hear even today, it says, "My sins, they are many. His mercy is more." That's the amazing God that we have. It speaks to us of these things that are vastly important. The things of eternity. We're going to read the gospel today, which is a part of a part of the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew records pretty extensively. But before we do that, I want to turn to the epistle, which is part of today, because it really ties into you know, the story of Joseph, to the and also, I believe, to what Jesus's message to humanity is. The gift that he has given. It's found in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. That is found on page 850 in your pew Bible. The marvelous gift that we have in the epistles is we see the reaction and the blessing that the word is, and the story of Jesus is to the disciples and to those that came after, to us. You know, that's what they're written for. They're letters to us, the epistles. Yeah, this one is designated to the Corinthians, but, you know, humanity is the same. You know, we have the same needs, and we have the same ups and downs, even though our exterior changed from the time of the, you know, Paul wrote to these Corinthians. You know, we operate society in a different way. The morality is still the same, isn't it? the moral compass that God has given, as it was talked about today in our Bible study, in our discussion of Noah, you know, and his righteousness. You know, Noah wasn't better than those around him in the sense that he was someone who stood above everybody else, other than it was by faith that he was justified. And so is it with us. And Paul here speaks as he writes to, and we're going to start with verse 35. You know, he's speaking about that big plan, the plan of salvation that God has provided for us. So let's begin with verse 35 in chapter 15. We'll read this in Jesus' name. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body which that shall be, but bare grain. It by bare grain, it might by some chance of wheat and some of other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, and another kind of flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such they are also that are earthy. And as it is heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Amen. This is the great chapter on the resurrection that Paul speaks and that he wrote to the Corinthians, you know, that we have no doubt that he preached about, because the resurrection was the challenge to humanity back in his day. No different today. It's the same challenge, because the mind cannot conceive what has not taken place in a natural way. And yet, men refuse to believe the testimony of the disciples, that this Jesus was raised again from the dead. You know, the first part of the 15th chapter, Paul goes into so beautifully the you know, what he preached. He tells us, he says, moreover, brethren, I preached unto you the gospel unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand, but which also by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, these Scriptures that Paul is talking about, we think, well, he's taking some of his letters. No, he's taking the Old Testament. He's taking the witness of those that lived at the time of Jesus, the disciples, the 500 then, as he continues, if we continue reading, that he writes about. Those witnesses that speak, you know, as Paul and John are so quick to point out, that they were eyewitnesses of this. You know, this fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. You know, it brings to us that gift that God has supplied unto us, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important they are. You know, and we see, you know, even in the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to read, that they are a part of our instruction here, instruction in righteousness. But the gift that God brings to us is that he brings to us that which is beyond the scope of our minds. He brings us to that place where we can see afar. We can see the future that God has intended for us, the gift that he has supplied in Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, in the latter part of this 15th chapter, it's, you know, he writes of those things that are so often read in the, you know, time of death, either at the grave or during a funeral service. But he tells us here that for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So then when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that is the victory that Jesus has won for us, that he has accomplished for us, and that he has provided in his great love when he came and took our sin debt upon that middle cross of Calvary, when he rose again victorious over death, over hell, and the devil in our behalf, so that today we can come to this place of worship and we can thank and we can praise him, not because we're better than those that are outside of the walls of this church that we worship, but because he has loved us and he continues to love the entire world. We're going to read from the 6th chapter of Luke. That is found on page 756 in the Pew Bible. We're going to begin reading with verse 27. Last week we didn't meditate upon this portion of Luke, but we did read it, and it's a continuation then from what we have read last week. But let's begin with verse 27, and we'll read again in Jesus' name. This is Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. But be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth the corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do gather figs, do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Amen. The teaching and the instruction of Jesus is is amazing, isn't it? You know, we think of so many movements today, and I think we've probably talked about it before, how there are movements that, they want to go against culture, and every time something pops up to be in what would be deemed the main line of society, then there's something else that pops up to refute it, and so on. And it goes back and forth, and they try to outdo each other. But the true counterculture is this word, isn't it? It's Christ. It's the teachings that he brings to the world, you know, and we know the results. He was hated because of it. And the amazing thing is that, you know, we had one that was so good. We believe as Christians that he walked, that he was without sin. You know, he took on our flesh, that he was tempted in every point like as we are, but without sin. You know, and that's a theological issue, if you want to put it that way. You know, the world, as they saw Jesus, they came after him because of the gifts that he had. And I mentioned that one song, or the line of a song that really struck me, that we were ready for his gifts, but not his plan. You know, the fact that we were ready to receive, well, this is wonderful because we can have some benefit here. You know, that we can receive something from this Jesus. And I think it's incumbent upon us to examine even our own hearts as believers that, you know, this isn't something that we come together as a social club. I mean, this is life. You know, Paul, when he was in the middle of Mars Hill, what would he talk about Jesus? You know, he used the terminology that they understood there, you know, in Athens. But, you know, he was speaking of Christ. And he was saying, you know, you have this unknown God. You know, and you worship an unknown God. And then he began to speak of Jesus. It's in him whom we live and move and have our being. That's how important this word is. It is our life. You know, it has to be that which sustains us, which directs us, which guides us. But not so that we can say, I'm way better than those sinners. You know, that terminology that Jesus uses here in those that have not believed and have not received this word. Because we are all sinners, aren't we? You know, we can't say, well, I'm not a sinner like the world. This is terminology that Jesus could use. But it's not something that we can use. Because we sin much every day. You know, the difference is faith, the grace of God, having reached our hearts. And, you know, how we understand that to happen, that's beyond the mind. You know, we are simply thankful when we recognize that we are sinners, that we have fallen short of the glory of God as the entire world has, but that he has called us by the gospel. What a blessing we have to have been able to hear the gospel, to hear the word, to be taught it, to have been brought up, to have been baptized, and, you know, to have this communion that we partake of, this fellowship that is such a powerful and a holy thing. Because it is the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that revolts the worldly mind. That revolts the human heart that has not been converted, that has not been changed. And Jesus is talking about that. He's speaking to his disciples here. He's speaking to us. He's telling us here. He says, it was interesting. Verse 26, I pondered on that because it was a woe. The last couple of verses of the earlier part of the chapter says, woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger, and woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall weep and mourn. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, so did their fathers to the false prophets. Okay, he wasn't speaking to just the general world there. He was speaking to the Jewish people who had received this word. You know, they were caretakers of the word in the Old Testament. You know, they were given this word to carry on, and they did, in spite of themselves, as we many times in the church, you know, it's in spite of ourselves that this word continues to go forth, because we are sinners. But it is God's work. It is his plan. It is his power that causes it to go forth. You know, and this fact there that these you know, people that stoned the prophets, that You know, desired not to have what God said, but what they understood in their own minds. And that's the way we are in our humanity. That's why this word needs to break and humble the human heart. You know, we talk about us being broken people living in a broken world. And naturally we are. And we need to communicate what God has spoken to us, because outside of this word, we stand no differently. But when this word proclaims, as we understand and as we know and as we hear, you know, this word speaks to our hearts. It's the work of the Spirit that has enkindled our hearts to believe and to trust in God and to lean upon what He has said, to come to know Him and the great love that He has, not just for us, but for all of humanity. You know, Jesus spoke so well, as, you know, we hear it and see it so often, even on billboards, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, those words in that verse have spoken to so many people. And oh, that this word would be then open up to humanity, that they would believe and trust and find this righteousness which is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know, as Paul wrote there in Corinthians, that this corruptible, this nature, this man, old man who we are, the corruptible man, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The fact that God supplies unto us, I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So Jesus isn't speaking to us to make us, you know, just a little bit better than the world around us. No, He's speaking to us because He has changed our hearts. And He says, here's the command, here's the list. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. You know, and I think we could stop right there, couldn't we? And I think we would have, you know, a world of discussion. We could have a discussion until the day we leave this earth on how difficult that is. You know, when we see the atrocities that happen in the world around us, you know, and it happens because humanity, because of sin, you know. And yet Jesus is telling us here, He says, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. Are we able to do that? Are we able even to begin down that pathway? I think it's difficult, because we can't in our humanity. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to strengthen, to lead us unto all truth. And this is truth, speaking truth to us. This is Jesus Christ speaking to us, to telling us that we need to love those around us, not by commandment, but how? How do we love God? We love Him because He has first loved us. We love Him because He has forgiven our sins, because He has led us to this word and He has caused us to drink of this. You know, the prophet Isaiah in his 55th chapter puts it so beautifully. I think it's something we have all heard many times. But he tells us, he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. What is it that we consume that is good? There isn't anything in this world. Yeah, we have a lot of marvelous foods, and, you know, we appreciate those. But he's talking about this word. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, as the psalmist writes. That we come to know Him. That's why we have been refreshed. Why we have come to this place where we can praise and we can thank God. Not because we're better than those enemies that we have. Not because we're better than those that hate us. You know, and hatred is very strong. You know, it's a very strong driving force. You know, and it's, I believe, the very core of that is fear. Because when humanity is not reconciled with a righteous and a holy God, there is fear. They may want to say that they're agnostics, or that they have no belief in anything, or they create their own God. Until that reconciliation is made, there is fear in the human heart. And it drives men to despair. It drives men to anger. It drives humanity to a place where, you know, we cannot tolerate anything outside of ourselves. But here we have a God whose love is so great that He desired to encompass all of humanity. He says, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. You know, there are so many that, you know, you work and live out of spite. And oh, that God would be able to change human hearts, that He would give us hearts that we could pray for one another, for this world that is so against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Gospel in John in the 15th chapter, if you read that 15th chapter, Jesus tells us, He says, you know, the very fact that humanity is, or believers are hated, it isn't because, you know, necessarily that it is ourselves, although sometimes we tend to cause those ourselves. But He tells us this, He says, remember the word that I said unto you, this is the 20th verse of chapter 15, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. In other words, they do not know the one true God. He says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin, and now they have no cloak for their sin. And that's the challenge that all of humanity faces. There's no covering. The righteousness of Christ is not there. It is that robe of righteousness that gives us the joy and the praise within our hearts, that peace. Because it's the kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. It's the gift of God towards humanity to send His Son into this world, that we might know the great love that He has. For unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and him that taketh away thy goods, and ask them not again. Those are difficult places. You know, and I think if we would take that literally and go into the world, we would come away naked, wouldn't we? We would come away without anything. But Jesus is speaking about the frame of heart here. You know, the heart that gives, because there is no greater giver than our God. He gives continually. He has given from the beginning, from the very foundation of the world. His love has reached out to humanity. He desires that we would be clothed with that righteousness. For if you love them, and as you would have men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, and you thank, what thank have you? And for sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you do hope to receive, what thank ye all have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. You know, that is a part of our humanity. I think, you know, when we examine our own, how do we see that, you know, that wants to press in on us? Oh, that God would give us the spirit of liberty, the spirit that would be a spirit of giving. Because the greatest gift that we have to give isn't the coats that we have or the money that we have. It's the testimony in your heart, dear brother and sister. It's a testimony of God's love for you. You are that eyewitness that Paul and Peter were. You can testify to the world. I am no different than you. But God has changed my heart. He has broken my heart because of His great love. You know, Paul tells us in Romans that it's the goodness of God, you know, that leads mankind to repentance. His goodness, His love, it displayed upon that cross of Calvary. The fact that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed that how difficult a place that was for Him. He says, would you remove it? And then He says, but not my will, but thy will be done. This is the gift that God has supplied unto us to be able to see this Jesus who is the Christ. To know that He has saved us. That we might look to Him for all things. But love your enemies and do good. And lend and hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, for ye shall be the children of the highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. He is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. You know, that gift that you supply through your testimony of faith, through the gift of the gospel, to be able to share the gospel message. You know, and as the church and as individuals, we've been given that great gift to declare the forgiveness of sins. You know, Jesus told his disciples there behind, when they were behind locked doors, he says, "My peace I give unto you." Let's read that from the Gospel of John. You know, it's such an important place in the scriptures to know that this is Jesus' command to us, his direction for us. This which his disciples, as they received this word, went out. They were all but, John, were martyred for their faith. This was a testimony that found residence in their heart. It became their life. He says, "Peace be unto me, unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are not retained." Jesus didn't come to help establish a bunch of judges in this world. That's not what the Sermon on the Mount is about. That's not the instruction that he's teaching us, that we can make a discernment here. God himself, as Luke tells us, he says that, "Be merciful as your Father also is merciful." In other words, that mercy is a free gift that God has supplied unto us. He has not destroyed us, even though he had every right to do that. But he has loved us with a great love. He is the one who is, as verse the end of 35 says, he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. And then Jesus begins to speak on something that's very close to us, as I've already mentioned. He says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." You know, and that story of Joseph is a marvelous example, isn't it? You know, of being sold into slavery and left for death by his brothers, as good as dead. He was considered dead by his father because that was what was told him. He was given great riches. He had all power in Egypt. You know, he could easily have destroyed his brothers. He could have said, "Well, they're no more family to me." Easily he could have done that. But no, when God works in the heart, when God begins to tenderize the human heart, thankfulness comes out, forgiveness, that which God alone can supply, because that's not something we can, you know, create or build up ourselves. This was God's work in Joseph. It's his work in you. It's the same God. It's the same work to bring to us that desire to forgive, to share the message of the gospel. It's not our gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not our forgiveness. You know, we don't have a handle to be able to say and merit it, meet it out. The word tells us that God is merciful. He speaks to all of humanity that will hear, to be able to come and to hear this message of forgiveness. "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressing down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom, for that with the same measure that you meet with, you shall be measured to you also again." This work of forgiveness is God's work, and what a blessing it is in our lives to be able to be at peace with our God, to be able to be at peace with one another. And then Jesus continues with the parable, and he says, "Can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, and perceivest not the beam in thine own eye?" That's what this word does. It brings this challenge to us, because it's countercultural to who we are in our humanity. Because we are sinners, right? And this word speaks of forgiveness. Well, that is the power that God brings to us, is to be able to forgive. How can thou say to thy brother, "Let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye," when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall you see clearly to pull the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then the description here of the tree. He says, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known of his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. In other words, the tree, the very core being who we are, it has to be created by God, doesn't it? It has to be that which is cleansed. That's what makes us good. That's what made Noah good and righteous in his sight, in his day. You know, it wasn't because Noah was a better man in actions. He believed God. And yes, his actions were towards what God had told him to do, what God had promised him, what God had directed him. And so also this tree, then he says, a good man, Jesus defines this tree, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. That's how God hears from us. What does he hear from us? How important that he would hear from us the love that we have towards our neighbor, the love that we have towards him. You know, Jesus took the entire law and he broke it down. He said, you know, there's two tables, one love to God and one love to our neighbor. You know, it isn't the fact that we ourselves can do these wonderful works, that we can, you know, be able to share this message, but it is God's work in us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that brings to us that great gift to be able to praise God and thank him, not just for our brothers and sisters here that we worship with or that we fellowship with across the world, but also that we would remember those that do not know this great gift, that we would pray for those that, even though they would despitefully use us, that we could lean upon this promise that God has given us, lean upon the work of the Holy Spirit within our hearts to bring guidance and direction to us, that we might be that good tree that would bear good fruit unto his honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue now with song number 445, Jesus, I Am Resting, number 445.
Thank you.
Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we thank you for a word that is eternal, and we pray that you would continue to cause that word to be effective within our hearts, that we would continue to believe, and that we continue to share this message of the gospel of your great love, that we might continue to rest in those promises of who you are. Now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So there's a food drive that we have started. You'll notice a box in the foyer of stuff starting to get in there. So if you felt moved to do so, please donate. Our schedule for this week, both Wednesday at 7 and Friday at 10 will be the Bible studies, and both at Stan and Shirley's home. And next Sunday we'll have Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with 5:17, and during this song, an offering will be taken.